morning. We really appreciate that. Folk, just to say that if you are someone who really enjoys praise and worship that evening, from 6:30 to 7:30 here at the church every single week, there's an hour of uninterrupted praise and worship where you can just come and experience the goodness of God for an hour. So just keep that in mind. Mondays, 6:30 to 7:30. Good source, it is Jackie's birthday this morning. Jax, where are you? Right at the back there, Jax. Happy birthday to you. Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. And then as Kev mentioned, today is Pumza's last Sunday with us. Pumza, just from my side to say what an absolute blessing you have been to me personally, to my family, to our cell group, and to the church. Words fail me to say how highly I regard you. A lady of integrity and honor and humility, full of the love of God. You've added incredible value to this body. And for those who don't know Pumza, she's not just a doctor, but she's the doctor of the doctors. So she heads up the pediatric department at a local hospital, and she's now moving to Cape Town to do the same job done there in the Western Cape. So Pumza, I know you've been a blessing to us. Our loss is Cape Town's gain, but you go with our blessing. And I know the Lord's going to use you in a mighty way down there in the Western Cape. But we honor you for the years you've put into our church as well. Yeah, thank you. And then for those who may not have heard the sad news, our brother Pal Trent passed away yesterday to be with the Lord. He's been on our prayer list for a long time. He's been suffering from serious cancer. And yesterday was his day to meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And so to Belinda, who's obviously not here this morning, our hearts and our thoughts and our prayers are with her. To Fred Amari, you can pass it on to her as well. But I'm sure the service, Dad, will be sometime over the course of this week. We'll let you know when that service happens. But just to think of Belinda very specially this morning. All right, if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to probably not a very well-known book, but it's certainly a very important book, and that is the book of Haggai. So more than likely, that's going to require the index for some of you. But just to help you, if you go to Matthew, which is a very easy book to find, and you backtrack maybe 20 pages or so, you'll come to the book of Haggai. It's just two chapters long, the whole book, but it's a very powerful, powerful book indeed. While you're turning there, I thought I'd just read a letter to you that I received from one of the youngest members of our congregation a couple of weeks ago. It really blessed my heart. It went like this. Dear Pastor Mark, my name is Shanna. Next week, I'll be turning 10. My mom and dad, we're going to have a birthday party. Now, for the older generation, I also had to research this. Gravity, I'm told, is a trampoline park. So I haven't been there, but the kids obviously love it. So next week, I'll be turning 10. My mom and dad, we're going to have a birthday party for me at Gravity. But instead of having a party, I decided to give the money that they would have spent on the party to the church, so that more people can hear about Jesus. And by the way, Pastor Mark, you're the coolest pastor ever. Love, Shanna. I was like, wow, that's amazing. I just thought, remember the words of Jesus. Unless you become like little children, you will never see the kingdom of God. Here's a 10-year-old little girl who gets it. Sacrifice, commitment, giving of my best for the cause of Jesus. I had the joy of meeting that young lady, and I gave her a massive hug. And I just thanked her for her example to us as the oldies. Well, in Haggai chapter 1, and you can read that when you get home, but let me just paint a picture for you and give you some background. In Haggai chapter 1, God has sent a drought on the land of... I think in South Africa, we know exactly the effects and the consequences of drought. We're experiencing a drought at this moment in time in our history. But in verse 4 of chapter 1, Haggai gives the people of Israel the reason for the drought. And he says this in verse 4. He says, "Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house, in other words, the house of God, the temple, remains in ruins. So Haggai's challenge to them is, you've got misplaced priorities. You've got your life out of sync. You become so preoccupied with your own houses, your own possessions, that you've forgotten the work of God, the house of God. And so he says, as a result of those priorities that are out of sync, God has sent this drought to wake you up. And so when they realize it was God that sent the drought, they repent. There's a great word. They rearrange their priorities and they come together to rebuild the house of God, to rebuild the temple. And we could pick up the story this morning in chapter 2. Now, at this stage, people have been working on this project for a while. Things were going well. But on a personal level, things hadn't really started to improve for them. So they put in the effort, they had sacrificed. But on a personal level, they hadn't started to recover from the effects of the drought. And I just want to encourage somebody this morning. There may be some today who can relate. You've made some choices, some good choices. You've made some changes to do the right thing in life. You've reordered your priorities like they did. You've started putting God first. But on a human level, right now as you sit there, things haven't really started to improve for you as yet. I want to encourage you, do not give up. Don't throw in the towel. You'll never, ever be the loser by choosing to live life God's way, by living life according to God's design. Here's a verse to encourage you from Galatians. Let us not grow weary. You can translate that word also discouraged. In doing good, in living life God's way. And here comes the promise. For at the proper time, at the due time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Don't give up. Keep on persevering. Keep on putting God first. You will never, ever be the loser for having made that decision. Right, let's pick up the story in Haggai chapter 2 and read a few verses together. In the second year of King Darius, on the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not be afraid. Powerful words. Well, let's start off there in verse 1, and it's an easy verse to overlook, but it's actually a very important verse for a number of reasons. Let me read it to you again. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Now, it's important for a number of reasons. Number one, this is now 4 weeks into the reconstruction project. That day tells us that. And after 4 weeks, the people have been working hard, grafting hard. But like many of us, as the year draws to an end, you may be feeling a little bit weary. It's been a long year, a difficult year. You've worked hard. And like them, there's also a sense of weariness. You need a break at this stage of the year. They can relate to that. Number two, this is very interesting, but the 21st day of the seventh month would have been in the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, for those who know their Jewish history, their Jewish feasts, you will know the Feast of Tabernacles is a feast that is still celebrated today in Israel. The Feast of Tabernacles was a time where people would gather together on this day, the 21st day of the seventh month. They would bring their resources together, their crops, and they would have a massive celebration remembering God's goodness to them when he brought them out the wilderness to the promised land. And so like a Christmas celebration, family, friends gathered together, good food, good company, celebration. The Feast of Tabernacles was like that, remembering God's goodness and celebrating together as families and friends. But of course now, because of the drought, there's nothing to celebrate. The crops haven't produced. There's nothing to share. So instead of encouragement, there's discouragement. But there's more. The people have been working on this project for 4 weeks, and Haggai says something very significant. If you're currently working on this project, remember the former temple, the one that Solomon built. How does this one we're currently building compare to that one? And of course, the older generation who were alive in that time would have remembered the great temple Solomon built, this massive, magnificent, incredible, breathtaking structure. They remembered it, those in their 70s and their 80s. And of course, you know, they say, the older generation say, this current one compared to the older one is absolutely insignificant. Imagine how deflated the younger generation must have felt. Yeah, we're trying, we're building, we're sacrificing. Man, but compared to the good old days, this one is nothing in comparison to that. Friends, just a word of warning. It's not a very wise thing to live in the past. It's not a very good idea to live in the good old days. Praise God for what He did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago. Praise God for what He did yesterday. But guess what? Today is a new day. New opportunities, new challenges. And we need to be living in sync with the Spirit of God, discerning, wise. God, what are you doing today at this time in history? So yes, we learn from the past, focused on what God is doing today, and we walking step in step in sync with the Holy Spirit of the living God. So how does God respond to this group of tired and discouraged people? Verse 4 and 5. Here's God's response. But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. Here comes the key. And we're going to speak about this in depth in a few moments. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains among you. Do not fear. In other words, what's God saying to them? That even though times are tough, even though you may be feeling weary, overwhelmed, and discouraged, never, ever forget that I am with you, declares the Lord. You have the guarantee of God's presence in every season of life. And God's presence is the deal breaker. God's presence is the game changer. Don't forget, God says. Lift up your eyes above your discouragement, above the words of negativity and criticism. Don't forget, I am with you, declares the Lord. My spirit remains among you. Be inspired, be encouraged, knowing that you have the guarantee of God's presence. What about us? Matthew 28, verse 19, when Jesus spoke to those who would one day follow Him, people like us, He said things like this: therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. There's our mandate, not to rebuild a temple, but to spread the word of God around the world. There's our mandate, and here comes the promise. And surely I am with you, even to the very end of the age. His presence goes with us. I just love the words of David, and I shared some of these words at Michael DeSwart's memorial service a couple of days ago, Psalm 23. David writes probably the most well-known psalm in the Bible, but there may be something you may have overlooked in that psalm. David says this: even though I walk through the darkest valley, you can use your imagination to think what that represented for David. Some of you say, I know what that dark valley feels like. I've walked that valley. I'm in that valley. I know what it feels like. Well, so did David. Though I walk through the darkest valley, he says this remarkable thing: I will fear no evil. Now, my human mind pushes pause right there, and I say, David, how is that possible? You're walking through the darkest, most difficult season of life. Why is your heart not overwhelmed? Where do you find the strength to keep on keeping on? What's your secret? And he tells us, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Can you see what David's saying? David's saying, God, it's your presence in this darkest time of my life that gives me the strength and the courage to keep on keeping on. Friends, there's a word for somebody today. As you walk through your dark valley, whatever that represents for you, you go through that valley with the guarantee of the presence of the living God with you every single step of the way. And that changes everything. Listen to this. God's promise to you is God. God's promise to you is Himself. The question is, is that enough for you? Because there may be somebody this morning who came to church thinking, what will I get out of it? What benefit will I receive if I commit myself to following God? The answer is, you get God. You get a relationship with the God of this universe. Yes, but what else do I get? You don't get it then. You haven't understood. You get God. You get Himself. Christ is enough. He is the pearl of great price. He is the ultimate treasure. If you have Jesus Christ, if you have the guarantee of the presence of the living God, you have everything worth having. God's reward to you is Him. It's Himself. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and all the things of this world will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. God's reward to you is God. He is enough. My friends, I cannot stand you at the end of a busy, hard year and promise you anything else than what I've spoken to you this morning, that God's reward to you is. I cannot say to you, with any authority, that life will be easy for you, that things will turn out well for you. I don't know that. All I do know was life was hard for Jesus. I do know life was hard for the early church. I do know that over the last 2,000 years, 70 million Christ followers have been martyred for their faith in Jesus. That's 100,000 people every year who've lost their lives for the cause of Christ. I don't know how your life will turn out. But I do know this. God's reward to you is God. His reward to you is Himself. And He will be enough. He will be enough. Let's read on from verse 6. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. Some people might say those words are happening today. I will shake all the nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. And the glory of this present house will be greater than the house, says the Lord Almighty, and in this place I will grant peace, says the Lord Almighty. What a promise. Verse 9, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former, declares the Lord, and in this place I will grant peace. What a promise. Man, this temple that you guys are building might not look very impressive compared to the older temple. But this temple will contain my glory, and the glory will be greater than that of the former temple. What a promise. The only catch was the promise would only be fulfilled 500 years down the line. In other words, that generation who built that temple, who sacrificed for that temple, they wouldn't see the benefit of that glory that God spoke about. That glory would appear 500 years later when Jesus Christ arrived and walked into that temple himself. The Son of the living God, God incarnate, Jesus Christ, walked into that very temple they had built. He worshipped there. He prayed there. He healed there. And from the temple, he went to the cross. And he died in our place and for our sins, the world might be reconciled to God. Guys, I want to challenge you this morning as I challenge myself. If you knew that what you were sacrificing for today, your giving and your generosity and your sacrifice, that you wouldn't see the benefit of that, but only future generations would you still carry on doing what you're doing? I think of China, when under the years of communism, people came and sacrificed and were imprisoned and were martyred for their faith. They had the vision of seeing God's kingdom come, but they never saw it. They just sowed the seed and gave of their lives. They never saw the fruit. Guess what? Today in 2019, there are 150 million followers of Jesus Christ in China. The harvest has come, but they never saw it. But they worked towards it. What about you? What are you going to leave for the next generation? What are you going to leave for those who will fill these pews after you? We don't just work for ourselves. We work for the benefit of future generations. So Jesus fills the temple 500 years later, the Prince of Peace, and he makes a way for the nations to be reconciled to God. And guess what? The nations are coming to him. And the nations will come to him. How do I know it? Because the end of the story has already been written. Isn't it amazing? We've got the end of the book, and the end of the book says Jesus wins. The nations will come and worship him. Revelation chapter 7. After this I looked. This is what you've got to look forward to one day, and me. And there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. Where were they from? From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they cried out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." The nations are coming, the nations will come, because the end of the story has already been written. My friends, if life is hard for you, when life gets hard for you, hold on to this promise. This world is not the end. The best is yet to come. But while you journey to get, you journey with the guarantee of the presence of the living God with you every single step of the way. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has even conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Let's pray together. Let's just take a moment to be quiet and to allow the power of God's word to settle in our hearts. I don't know if you realize it, but the temple in Jerusalem is no more. Some of you have been to Jerusalem and you've seen the stones, the rocks, the rubble where that temple once stood. And that's okay, because the Bible says we are now the temple of God. Walking, living, breathing, carriers of the presence and power of God. As Paul, treasure in jars of clay. Now, somebody may have forgotten about that. You've allowed that to slip your mind. And I think God wants to remind you this morning that in every single area of life, wherever you go, you carry the presence and the power of God with you. Most people will never meet Jesus on this earth face to face, but they will meet you. How are you representing Jesus? You carry His Spirit. You carry His power in you. For those today who are walking what David describes as a deep and a dark valley, I want to reassure you from God's word this morning that you do not walk through that valley alone. But today you've heard God Himself remind you, I am with you. God's reward to you is God. God's reward to you is Himself. Will be and is enough for you. This morning, draw near to Him. Drink deeply from the wells that He offers you, the wells of living water. Draw strength and encouragement and grace and hope from those wells. And even though you leave this building to go and face the same set of circumstances, may you leave differently. May you leave with a spring in your step because you know that the presence of the living God goes with you. And His word says, if God be for you as He is, then who on earth can possibly be against you? The presence of the living God goes with you. Father, we thank You for these promises. Every single time we open Your word, there is treasure to be found. Lord, may the lessons we've learned this morning never, ever be lost. May we carry them in our hearts. May we carry them forever. And may we never forget that Your presence is with us every single step of every single day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.